The scripture this evening will be Acts chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Acts chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I'll be reading from the New King James. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus.
Good evening. It is good to see you here tonight. We are thankful for your presence. It is always a joy to be together. We are thankful to our Heavenly Father who makes all things possible and has made this moment for us to be here together possible. I want to say thank you for the many kind, encouraging words I've heard regarding the sermon this morning. A lot of encouragement, a lot of appreciation for God's word. I appreciate that. And it is encouraging because the matters are difficult sometimes. I don't mind telling you that. And yet, God's word must be preached and proclaimed, and we must stand with Him, and we must preach the truth in love. That said, these sermons are not disconnected. You know, sometimes you're in the middle of a series and somebody thinks, well, you preached about that this morning and this evening is an entirely different discussion. Well, it's probably an entirely different discussion, yes, but the Bible's connected. And so there's nothing that's not consistently going to be true and in harmony with the rest. We also had a series going in the evening. I'm not sure if you recall it. It's been a minute, so I'll bring you back up to speed. But we were talking about evangelistic preaching. You recall? Several heads. Well, good. That's fantastic. That'll shorten my review then. In that series of sermons, though, we were discussing what evangelistic preaching is not. We talked about that several weeks ago. And this is one of the things that kind of confuses Christians, it seems. You know, we preach a sermon like we did this morning, and people almost think, well, now what am I to do? Am I to go out and react a certain way to the world? Well, that's not really what I'm saying, that you and I have to go out and shake people and confront people and get into people. I mean, we don't really have to do that as God's people. The Bible says we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so we live in the world, but we're not of the world. Doing the very best I can to plead with Christians not to let the world get into them and to not let the world change our minds about what we know to be true and to stand up for Jesus in times and when it's necessary. But when people say, I have a right to do what I want to, well, in some sense, that's absolutely true. This is America. You're a free citizen. What you choose to do, you're free to do that. We're not trying to go behind people's doors and tell them how to live their lives. That's really not Christianity. But now, us standing up for what's right doesn't mean we have to now force you or demand that you. It's really not like that. So when I talk about evangelistic preaching, the preaching that saves people, that gives people an opportunity to be saved, that preaching is found in the book of Acts. It's not a program we have to invent. You open up the book of Acts and they're preaching. And nearly after every sermon, somebody's obeying the gospel. That's the force of the gospel. What the world needs is the gospel. And what the world needs is for Christians to share it with them. To give it to them, because there is nothing in their world that's going to give it to them. There's nothing in the world that's going to teach the gospel. God has a people to teach the gospel. If you're looking at yourself, maybe I need a mirror so I can show it back to you, but you're looking at them. We're it. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We're the ones that need to share the good news of Jesus Christ. When we opened up the book of Acts, that's what they did. Acts chapter 2, the apostles preached. And so what was it? It was scriptural preaching. You read Acts chapter 2 and that sermon from verse 14 to the end of the sermon, about verse 42 or so, and what you will find is a sermon full of scripture. The New Testament not yet written. What scripture did they have? They quote prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, and they say this is that, and this is what David said, and this is what the scriptures say, and this and this and this. And by the time those people hear this, they're asking, men and brethren, what shall we do? Evangelistic preaching is scriptural preaching. We preach the Bible. We don't preach our opinions. We don't go around saying, here's what I think, and you ought to see it my way. That's not what they did. We looked at chapter 3. Evangelistic preaching is Christ-centered preaching. I'm looking at my notes, and I know one of the things I said, because I just read it again, was this, that no matter how good the preacher is, no matter how popular the preacher is, no matter how much the preacher knows, when evangelistic preaching is done right, the preacher hides behind the cross. And the only one seen and heard is Jesus. Evangelistic preaching is Christ-centered preaching. That is who people need to hear about. The one who loved you and died for your sins. That's evangelistic preaching, and not accidentally. When they're done preaching in Acts chapter 3, look in your Bibles if you have them there. That sermon goes into at least the reaction, and the results of that sermon is found in Acts chapter 4, the opening section of that scripture. Look at verse number 4. But many of those who had heard the message, which one? Not Acts 2. The message they heard was Acts 3. That message began when the people gathered after the man was healed at about verse number 11, 12, 13. Right in there, Peter and the other apostles began preaching again. And they said, you rejected Jesus, you disowned him, you killed him, you and your leaders, but God raised him from the dead. The same sermon, but it was centered around Jesus. And Acts chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, but many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. What are we saying? What does the world need? Evangelistic preaching. What's the result of it? People will obey the gospel. Where? Everywhere, anywhere, there's good-hearted individuals. What needs to be preached? Jesus. And when they did, people responded. We continue in Acts chapter 4 and we reach another point, and that is this: evangelistic preaching is Christ imitating preaching. The people who teach and preach Jesus imitate Jesus. They say of Jesus what Jesus said of himself. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The apostles heard Jesus say that. It's why we will read what we had read, and that is, they will say, there's no other name under heaven. Where would they get such an idea? How could they be so narrow-minded? Who told them that they should have such a strained and narrow view about salvation? Jesus did. In fact, their view of salvation came from him. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Small wonder then why the apostles would say, there's no other name under heaven given among men, whereby that's Christ imitating preaching. They're just saying what Jesus said. And brothers and sisters, as I love one preacher, he always says, brothers and sisters, neighbors and friends, I hope you can always say what Jesus said. I hope you always feel comfortable saying what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12, 48. When the apostles are brought into question, and they are, notice Acts chapter 4 and verse number 7. Bible says on the next day, verse 5, the rulers came and they they were gathered together, and they, Annas the high priest and others, and they placed the apostles at the center. They began to inquire of them, by what name have you done this? Peter, the Bible says, filled with the Holy Spirit, he spake unto them. It almost appears, as you read through the book of Acts, if you asked the apostles a question and paused, you got a sermon. Because they ask, by what authority, by what name have you done this? Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, took this as an opportunity to preach. And Acts chapter 4 is going to be the same sermon as it was in Acts chapter 2, the same sermon as it was in Acts chapter 3. And if you would like another preview of what's to happen when you get to Acts chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, what do you think they're going to preach? Peter said, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to this sick man, as to how this man was made whole, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. What happened to Jesus, Peter? Acts chapter 2, you killed him. Acts chapter 3, you killed him. What did you say in Acts chapter 4? After Jesus the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you builders, and there is salvation in no one else. The reason we're talking about the things that we're talking about Sunday morning is because if your and my mind is ultimately changed by the doctrines of the world, please understand this. It is only a matter of time before you give up Jesus. There are people who believe, well, we just need to get over these doctrinal issues. As I heard one man recently say, our approach to Scripture is what's causing the division. Well, it's not our approach to Scripture that's causing the division. It's men's rejection of Scripture that causes the division. But he said it's our approach to Scripture. And as soon as we get rid of these doctrines, let me ask you something. Have you noticed yet, if you're paying any attention, you would have had to have noticed this. Have you noticed that every time a line is moved, a line is moved, a line is moved, a line is... People actually have in their mind that if we lift the anchor here, we will set it down here and we'll never move again. Now, why they believe that, I have no earthly idea. Because what man has shown himself willing to do is, once the anchor is picked up, the anchor is never put back down. And every time you try to put it down, there'll be somebody else to use the same reasoning you use to pick it up over here. They'll use that exact same reasoning to pick it up here. And every time you try to put it down, somebody else will come along and say, well, there's no reason to have it here. Let's just pick it up here. And over and over and over. And there were people who actually believed we just get rid of all this doctrinal stuff. Do you not know that belief in Jesus Christ as the divine Son of God is a doctrine? If you get rid of all the doctrine, how do you plan to hold on to that one? What in your mind tells you that one we're going to be able to hold on to? Friends, you'll give up Jesus. Peter said as much. Peter said there was false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you who privily will bring in damnable heresies. Peter says, even denying the Lord that bought them. It is just a matter of time before Jesus is on the chopping block too. And I've heard it with my own ears. Man said, preacher. Man said, not in the Lord's church, but a preacher, popular one, said, you know, Jesus wasn't always divine. No, he grew into that divinity and he was a human just like you and me. He said, you know what? My God don't get tired. But Jesus did. My God don't get hungry, he said. Jesus did. Well, I guess Jesus can't be his God. Because Jesus got tired. Jesus got hungry. Because he's the God-man. And he was a human just like you and me, except he was divine in his nature. He took on flesh, John 1. Peter said, if it be known by what power this man stands here whole, Jesus, the one you killed, the one God raises. Evangelistic preaching is confident preaching, even if the preacher is not. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. I was riding in the car one day with a preacher, and he was talking to me about preachers. He was saying some interesting things. Among the things he said was, Eric, you know. Generally, when people say, Eric, you know, I don't know. Just for the record, just put that out there. Generally, I don't know. I'm about to learn something, though. He said, Eric, did you know there is a certain kind of man that goes into preaching? I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, oh, yeah, they've done studies, man. There's a certain kind of personality type. There's a certain kind of this, that certain kind of that. He said, generally speaking, they're not the same guy in the pulpit as they are outside the pulpit. Not the same guy. I was doing what you're doing right now. Huh? I feel like the same person. I don't know. I don't. Lived a little longer. I think now I try to understand what he's saying. And I don't know that it's true for all preachers. I can't say that it is. But it seemed to be that he was suggesting to me that they're willing to do and say things they would normally be willing to do and say. That they act outwardly in a way that very often is incompatible with the person. That's not really what they would be like. And I have lived long enough to know that this generally is against me. I have lived long enough to know this. I have lived long enough to know that generally by the end of this, you can find me at home in my chair exhausted. Not because we run 5 miles, but because this is just generally contrary. I had a man recently come up to me and he said, man, I've been watching you. You just as quiet as you want to be over here doing nothing. He said, but I heard you last week preaching. And I said, man, is that the same guy? May not be the same guy. There seems to be some of that in the Bible for whatever that's worth. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, brethren, when I came to you not willing to know anything but the excellency of Jesus Christ. I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he says this, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You probably would have described the Apostle Paul a lot of ways, but you probably wouldn't describe him as weak, fearful, and trembling. And yet, that's precisely how he describes himself in his preaching. I'm only saying that to say the apostles didn't look the part. In fact, the assessment of them is that their behavior is not in harmony with what we thought of them. You can see that in verse number 13. The Bible says, now as they observed the confidence, King James says boldness, of Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated, untrained men. The council of the leaders, they've called them by the authority of the law and brought them in. They are sitting in judgment of these men. They should, I suppose, in the council's estimation, unlearned, uneducated, ignorant, they should be scared. They should be fearful. They should be concerned. They should be cowering. But instead, Peter is bold. It's almost as if they scratch their head and they say, wow, that's not what we anticipated. That's not what we thought. But they have an explanation for it. In the end of the verse, they say this. They began to recognize they had been with Jesus. When you preach scripture, it's not you. But if you've been with Jesus, there's only one way for you to act. You act like the one from whom you've learned. They walked with Jesus. They lived with Jesus. They watched Jesus called into question. They saw Jesus bold as a lion drive people out of the temple. They saw Jesus stand before the Pharisees. They saw Jesus stand before his accusers. There was no cowering in Jesus. And now that Jesus has told them, go preach the word. And you know what they are? They are Christ imitating preachers. Evangelistic preaching means we preach what Jesus preached. If Jesus said, I'm the only one to heaven, then we preach he's the only way to heaven. If Jesus was bold and confident, well, then we stand bold and confident. Paul says he stood, I was with you in weakness, but he preached Jesus. The apostles may have been untrained, ignorant, but they preached Jesus and it was seen. In fact, evangelistic preaching is Christ imitating preaching, and it preaches the truth even if threatened to stop. You know, there's not a whole lot of reasons you're going to get me to utter this next sentence. I'd be willing to go to jail. And not a whole lot of reasons that's going to be coming out my mouth. But if you're asking me to stop preaching Jesus, well then I'd be willing to go to jail. Jesus is the only reason for the behavior. Jesus is the only reason to be bold. Jesus is the only reason to go against the state. Jesus is the only reason. You can get me to fold tent for a whole lot of other reasons, but not Jesus. If you're asking, give up Jesus. Don't say what the Bible say. Well, then, you need to take note that we have been with Jesus. And even if threatened, look at verse 17. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us warn them, King James threatened them, to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. To which Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. When they threatened them further, they let them go. Friends, I'll encourage you to read the rest of chapter 4 and just know this. They didn't stop preaching. They threatened them. They did not stop preaching the name of Jesus. Jesus stood before Annas and Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate. He told the apostles one day they're going to call you into question, but take no thought. It won't be you speaking, either be the Spirit speaking through you. And they did. Having been brought into question, they stood and they preached Jesus. Friends, we don't have any obligation to go out here into the world and try to force Jesus upon anybody. We don't have any obligation at all to go out of here into the world and tackle everybody who is living a life inconsistent with Jesus. No, sir, no, ma'am. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Let us go out into the world and let our light shine by doing good, by speaking the truth in love, by loving our neighbor as ourselves, by being kind and merciful, good, and showing the world what it looks like for one to follow Jesus. And however, if you should come and threaten and charge and command that we stop preaching Jesus, you should just know. We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We must preach Jesus. Evangelistic preaching is Christ imitating preaching. The apostles in Acts chapter 4 had been with Jesus, and they acted just like him. May that be said of his church and his people today. Not a Christian, we invite you to become one. Why not give your life to your Savior? You know, you may not be his yet, but he's yours. In the sense that he died for you, he loved you. He gave his life for you. Now he's asking for you to give your life to him. While you have opportunity, while you have space and time, you should make that decision. You should believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Confess his name, repent of sin, turn from the direction of life that you're headed and begin to walk anew with Jesus, Luke 13:3. Confess his name, Romans 10:9-10, and be immersed, buried with him in baptism, Romans 6:3-4. Friends, if you've never done that, you need to. That's what they keep preaching. Take your time and read Acts 2:22-24. Listen to what they preach. Listen to what they say in Acts 2:36-42. Listen to them preach. That's what they preach. Read it again in Acts 3:19, down to Acts 4:4. That's what they preach. They're going to preach it again in Acts 5. They'll preach it again in Acts 6. You just keep working your way. Every time they have opportunity, Acts 8, Philip's going to go down Samaria. He's going to preach Christ, Acts 4:5. They're going to believe that and obey the gospel, Acts 8:12-13. And then he's going to meet a man in the chair and he's going to preach it to him. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, it must be preached. It's the only thing that can save. Never done that, you need to. If you are his child. Friends, let us keep living lives that bring glory to our Father in this world. Let us keep shining our lights. Let us keep being the salt of this earth. Let us keep imitating Christ, our Savior. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.